Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we'll start things off talking all things Gopher sports. Joining us right now, the director of athletics, Mark Coyle. Mark, football game yesterday left a lot of people scratching their head. Boy, it just year after year, the Northwestern games, you analyze them, you say, you know, not a great team, but you can't make any mistakes.
You can, Dave. You know, Coach Fitzgerald has done such a good job there, and you hear PJ and others talk about that, just that sustainability of him being there for so long, and they're a team where you can't beat yourself. And obviously with the three turnovers that we had, that failed fourth down conversion and some of those things, you just can't give a good team like that. And I think people sometimes lose sight. They are the Big Ten West champions. They're 7-1 in conference play. You know, it's a ranked football team, and we just had the turnovers and let that one get away from us. But we'll be ready for this week and battle back and compete hard against Wisconsin.
Mark, when you do a study on Northwestern, I think it's interesting. Some people would say, well, that's because they've had the same coach for a while. But they've been good for about 20-some years now, and since Gary Barnett came in, and of course, Coach Walker's untimely death. And prior to that, everybody said you can't win at Northwestern. When you look at it from afar, because people sometimes say that about Minnesota, what do you see about Northwestern that's allowed them this consistency in football?
They've gotten old, Mike, and what I mean by that, you're exactly right. When Coach Barnett got there and they had that magical run to the Rose Bowl, that kind of flipped it, and those kids grew up and what they're able to do. And in the Big Ten and in these Power Five conferences, you've got to be old. And what I mean by that is you bring these young men in to play football, you try to redshirt them a year and then let them start going. So by the time they're junior seniors, they've been in your weight program for 3 or 4 years. They've been through the academic side of it. They're comfortable. And, you know, Northwestern, you know, I would argue, you look at Northwestern, you look at Wisconsin, you look at Iowa, those are very mature teams, and they don't flinch, right? If something goes wrong, they don't flinch. They've been there. Yep. They've done that. They've experienced it. And that's what we talk about. And again, we don't want to make any excuses. We need to continue to compete hard. We need to continue to recruit the right people to our program. And I give Coach Fleck and his staff a lot of credit and how hard they're working on the recruiting front. And we just need to continue to get old. And that's what those teams in the Big Ten do. They're just really old and mature. And that helps in a league like this.
Mark, a crazy day in the Big Ten yesterday. If anybody thought our game was our Minnesota game was odd, they just had to look at what happened later in the afternoon. People are talking about compelling viewing. Those two overtime games were remarkable.
Yeah, you know, there just seems to be so much a parity right now in Big Ten, right? You know, we have Purdue up here a week ago, and we play a phenomenal game and beat them rather easily. And then, you know, Wisconsin plays them. They have that double overtime win that Wisconsin got down there, which is a tough place to play, and Purdue's a well-coached team. And then, obviously, you watch the Ohio State game and the Maryland game, and obviously that sets up for a big matchup. And I had a chance, before I saw you and Linda last night at basketball, I had a chance at dinner to watch part of that Michigan-Indiana game, which was a close game.
Yeah.
Again, it's just a tough, tough conference, and it just shows each week you got to show up and you got to compete. And if you don't show up and compete, you're not going to get the wins.
You know, St. Lawrence last night, they played you twice and split in men's hockey, and obviously they're not going to be a big draw coming in, but what do you see? I've talked to Bob Motzko about it as the way out of or the way to fill more seats there.
You know, it's doing things the right way, and I had a chance. I walked over at halftime. I walked over to the men's hockey game, and you know, had a little bit better crowd last night than we did on Friday. And you know, I spent a lot of time with Hugh McCutcheon. As you both know, I have a lot of respect for Hugh, and we talk a lot about what we've created with our volleyball program. And I would argue that we've created a volleyball program that people want to be a part of it because they do it the right way, you know, academically, athletically, how they represent the institution, the program, and people want to be a part of that. And we're trying to do that with hockey and with all of our programs. And there's no doubt in my mind that Bob's the right person. He's going to continue to do a great job for us. And again, as we get a little bit older, a little bit more mature, and we start to get those wins, we're hopeful that people will come back. And we have taken a look at all of our pricing. You know, I hear that a lot from our fans, and we love the feedback we get from our fans to look at our pricing. We actually reduced pricing in certain sections in 3M Arena at Mariucci, and we've sold those tickets well, and we'll continue to look at our pricing to find out, you know, what are the best ways to get people to come back and support our students.
Mark, you brought up Hugh McCutcheon in a meeting with you on Friday. You said something I had not heard before, that he's become kind of a go-to guy for a lot of your young coaches, that for one reason or another, they wind up at his door and run a lot of things past him. That's a nice thing to have in an apartment.
Yeah, you know, and to be honest with you, Dave, I'm one of those people that line up too. I mean, I think you've spent time with him. I know, Mike, you've been able to spend some time with him. You know, Hugh is just a special, special person and a coach. And I tell people, you fool yourself if you think he's just a coach. You know, he's more than that. He has a unique ability to see the big picture. He has a very calming presence. And you know, there's no doubt that our coaches go, they spend time with him, they learn from him. You know, if you go to one of his volleyball practices, it's almost like a classroom setting, how they teach and instruct their students. And again, he has much to offer our department. And I give Joel Matree a lot of credit when they hired Hugh, you know, 6-7 years ago, when he got here, because he's been a game changer for that program. And we had a great volleyball program before that, and he was just taking it to the next level. We're just so grateful for he's here, and we're just so grateful for the time and energy he gives to all of our programs. It really helps all of us.
Well, but you know, the one thing that comes through when you're around him, and I know as an athletic director, you would like your teams to be involved, and the public wants to win now, but he is a process coach, meaning the goal is, the winning comes, but the goal is to be the best you can be, and then take, you know, it's not, if you have a bad conference and you win it, that's not necessarily good. If you have a really good conference, you finish fourth, that can be really good. The point is, he's driven through the process, and I know that that's a hard thing for people to grasp sometimes, because you want to win right now.
But Mike, that's a great point. You just described him to a T. Hugh rarely talks about wins and losses. It's about the process. You know, what really caught my attention early on with Hugh, I remember he talked about having always a tough non-conference schedule, and he talked about how he wanted to give his kids a chance to learn and grow in an environment in a tough gym. And again, it's about the process and preparing the kids each time they come out on the court to compete at a high level, and the wins will take care of themselves. But it's about that process, and if you believe in that process, the wins will be there at the end. And again, you just described them perfect.
Hey, Mark, we appreciate your joining us here this morning. Nice, well, not a good or beautiful basketball game, but a nice win for Lindsay Whalen's Gophers, undefeated, and a busy day with the men getting some tough competition starting. So we know you got a lot of things on your plate. We appreciate your joining us.
Hey, thanks so much. You guys have a great day, and go Gophers.
All right, that's Mark Coyle. We'll be back and talk Timberwolves basketball right after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike.
Welcome back, Sports Huddle. All of a sudden, the fun is back at Target Center. Sold-out crowd, Friday night. They beat the Portland Trailblazers. Today they play at 2 o'clock. And one of the new additions that making that come to life, Dario Saric, came over from the Jimmy Butler trade, and I had a chance to visit with him earlier this week at practice and whatnot. Dario, welcome to the Twin Cities. What's your first week impression, Ben?
Hi, everybody. Good morning. my first impression is amazing. You know, to see the all stuff, all organization is just amazing. You know, and people around, the fans, is like, pretty nice experience, you know, for first couple of days, and I'm looking forward, you know, to be even more happy, you know, when we just get some win streak and just continue to play good.
Dario, how did you like those Prince uniforms and Kevin Garnett there in the front row?
Yeah, that was amazing night, you know. Prince is obviously popular here, like he was popular in all states and all world, but like, it's a big thing here in Minneapolis because he's from here, and to kicking his jerseys, you know, on Friday night just was amazing, you know, and that colors, everything just were just particularly crazy and amazing for me.
You had a chance to go out to Paisley Park, his studio, of course, on Thursday night. What were your impressions when you got the tour?
Yeah, in his house, yeah. We got the chance, you know, to look a little bit more of his house, you know, and it's totally different, you know. I never been in some house like that. It's just for the stars, you know, just for the people who make a big impact in the history. And it was just amazing experience be there with the fans in his house. It's just one great experience for me.
Dario, how difficult or not difficult was it for you to fit into Tom Thibodeau's idea of both offense and defense?
You cannot say it's easy, but you cannot say it's not easy. I think in Philly, I got a different system, different coaching, and everything was a little bit different. And now to get traded in the middle of the season, it was like pretty hard, and adjust on the system quick, it's a hard. I know that will take some time, you know, to adjust all system, to learn all offenses, to learn all plays. But I'm looking forward to what I say. The coach are great. Coaches are great there. And that will just make me easy to adjust and adapt here and to feel like this is my home.
You know, you also came over with Robert Covington, Jared Bayless as well, but Bayless is on the IR right now. Who is Robert Covington that we're getting to know a little bit here? What kind of, describe him as a teammate and a player that you've been up close with.
He's the guy, you know, who is on the court, who is different person on the court, and he's on the court. He's just guy who is just feeling a game, you know. He doesn't hesitate in opportunity. Even if he shoots 5-0 or he's shooting 5-5, 6-1, he will shoot the same, you know. He's the guy who is really focused and who doesn't have an up and down during the game. And out of the court, it's like pretty good person, you know, and it's a great experience to have him here after the trade, and guy who can talk about everything, guy who was like my big support when I was there in Philly in my first years, and he's just great human being.
Dario, you've started a game, you've come off the bench. Do you have any preference? You actually played more minutes coming off the bench than Gibson did in that last game.
It was a pleasure to me, you know, to have opportunity to get the more minutes than my first game, and I don't know what to say. It's pretty nice, you know, to find out that. But you know, every player, if he's normal, it's my opinion, he needs to play more minutes, play have a more shot, because it's natural. Like every player in NBA want to play more minutes. That's obviously, and I'm feeling the same. But you know, it's a coach decision who will play more, Taj or me, or it's about game. You know, it's different. Every game will be different.
You were asked the other day, we were talking to you about Towns versus Embiid, having played with both, and you said that don't make the comparison. They're a little bit different because Towns will take you outside a lot more.
Let's say yes, Towns is like more hardworking player, guy who, for me, got he's better shooting 3 points than Joel, but Joel is very good on a down on a low post, but like they are pretty similar but pretty different player. I can say like that because like Karl-Anthony Towns is a little bit more faster than Joel. You know, Joel is a little bit more, let's say, stronger on the low post. He's like different player, but obviously, you know, they are top two, top three centers in the league, and it's a great experience. First of all, to have a Joel there in Philadelphia. Now I have a Cat here, and he's a great person too, and I'm looking forward, you know, to be his teammate and to support him in his every decision.
Dario, appreciate very much. Good luck this afternoon against Memphis.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you too.
You bet. Dario Saric, new member of the Minnesota. All of a sudden, there's life, Dave. There's life at Target Center.
Well, that was certainly a fun game.
In fact, last week on this show, Sid Hartman said, terrible trade. They got nothing in return. Friday morning, I heard him on with Dave Lee. He said, great trade. Best trade they've made in years.
Well, what I said, he's willing to reevaluate.
After one game. Yeah.
We'll talk to Sid when he comes in. Nice honor yesterday when they named the press box.
They're all named after him now, I think.
I think he's working on soccer.
But yeah, that's right. I forgot about
Allianz. Below the horizon. All right, back right after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike. Mike, a lot to talk about PJ Fleck on a little later. I was in a suite yesterday, had a chance to get out of the
good
cold.
Good call.
Boy, a good call. You know, the weather has been terrible. There's no doubt about it. The attendance there, saw hockey we talked about a little bit earlier with Mark Coyle. It's getting tough to draw people if you don't win.
If you don't win, and the last 2 weeks in football have been just abysmal. In terms of, well, so is Indiana, I guess, last 3 weeks, and that was homecoming, but it was Friday night, so it was a weird deal, and it was rainy that night. But it's amazing to me, and about the time you think, well, it's weather, you know, we see the Vikings play Seattle in the playoffs, we see, you know, you give a team a good show and they'll show up, but right now the perception is it's not worth it. I ran to Mike Nowakowski from Ticket King the other day, and I said, we kind of went through the menu, and I said, what about Gophers? He says, 50-yard line tomorrow, this was Friday night, $25. That's not a good sign.
Yeah, walking up to the game yesterday, there were multiple people with handfuls of tickets in their hand. And, of course, when the game started, you always wonder how well you can see Minnesota on the other side. You could read it clearly. But, you know, things can turn around. Look at that Timberwolf crowd the other night.
Sellout. People are that in tune.
Yeah.
Probably because of social media and everything else, right? I mean, you can't miss what's going on if you have just a passing interest anymore, can you?
No, and you can change, things can turn.
Yep.
All of a sudden, I mean, we had that conversation earlier about the trade, but it's pretty remarkable that I think people caught on. This could be fun again. And the demeanor of the team and the way the game progressed was just so different from what we'd seen a week, 2 weeks before with under the Jimmy Butler regime.
In fairness, Butler had a big night last night, a block shot and a three to help win it. Yep. But it's been great because this week, that soreness that was really nagging him when he was here, where he said to sit out games, apparently that's been cured. So I don't know if it's being on the East Coast, if the weather, less humidity. I don't know what it is.
No, it's a miracle. There's no doubt about it. To make that kind of recovery and get your health back. And just, I guess that the Philadelphia air will do that to you.
The other thing that you forget, because these weeks have so many things packed into them, but it started with Joe Mauer's retirement Monday.
Yeah.
And that was one of the most, we'll get Sid's comments on it later. It was surreal because you had four managers there: Rocco Baldelli, Ron Gardenhier, Tom Kelly, Paul Molitor. Classy of Paul to show up, you know, given his circumstances. Yeah. You had Billy Smith, Terry Ryan, Derek Falvey, obviously the current. And then you had the Mauer clan from St. Paul. And then you had Zach Parise and Justin Morneau and Corey Koskie and Kent Herbeck. It was really something. And Joe was so well prepared for it. It was one of the most different, unique, and interesting press conferences I've seen.
And then, of course, the baby arrives, right?
And the baby arrives.
Right on schedule. You talk about good timing. You know, we're going to talk to Baldelli. He's going to be our guest 11:05. But Mauer's, you know, departure, it leaves a hole at first base. All of a sudden, free agent market's going to be interesting. What are you going to do there? So far, like last year and the year before, nothing happened so far in the free agent market. But the Twins have made some interesting coaching hires. And we're going to talk to Rocco about that. I mean, very non-traditional, but I was trying to read the national press on him. And people are paying a lot of attention to what the Twins are doing, saying, that may be the wave of the future.
Yeah, funny, I talked to Rocco the other day a little bit, and you forget this, he was a contemporary to Joe Mauer.
Yeah.
As we all get old so quick, right? I mean, Joe just retired. Basically, they played almost, you know, they almost came a couple years apart, but they're not that far removed in age right now. And so, yeah, he's putting this staff together, which looks a little different than what you'd expect.
And Glenn Taylor is going to be joining us at 11:05. Sid's here in the studio. We'll talk to Sid a little bit later. A very nice honor for Sid yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
University of Minnesota naming their press box for Sid. We're happy to see that. And we will get into that discussion. And if for people who want to get more Gopher football, obviously P.J. Fleck in his usual time at 10:30. And then Glenn Mason an hour later. He'll join us at 11:30 to talk about that game. Lindsay Whalen will join us at 11:45. She's running low on Murray certificates. And she and Ben told me yesterday that they want to load them back up again. So we'll take a break here. We'll be away for a few minutes. We'll come back and talk Timberwolves basketball again, and this time Glenn Taylor will be our guest. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.